So last week we began by discussing the mitzvah being mishamit, the mitzvah saseh, of nullifying the debt. We talked about the key question that everybody wants to answer of whether this is an active mitzvah, that you have to actually do something, and until then it's not hefker, or whether it's automatically hefker. We took the Rambam's view that the loan is forgiven automatically. We noted other Rishonim who supported the Mechas Chinuch adoption of that view. We gave support for the idea that Tavkata the Malka. Incidentally, I had a chance to see this week the Menchas Asher in Gittin Nun Tes, where he also provides some discussion of the topic. It's Nun Tes Beis in Gimel would be the relevant ones, but there's too much to see today for us to go back to it now. But the alternative view is that no, the loan is actually valid until the lender forgives it. Granted, he has a mitzvah to do so, but if he doesn't do so, then the borrower owes money. And we brought support for that from Gittin Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the story of Rabba and Abba Bar Marta, as explained by the Mishnah Halachos. In practice, we do follow the Rambam. We noted the possible application of the Arayim in terms of the Rush and the 10-year loan. Right, that was all last week, and then we closed by discussing when does this Shemitah exactly happen, and we said from the Gemara Erechin it's at the end of the year, but we noted the problem, which we will hopefully revisit now, which is that the Rishonim are familiar with the practice of not writing a prosbul during the Shemitah year itself. So why is that if the loans are active until the end? So that has to be, maybe it'll be part of the prosbul discussion actually as opposed to this week. We'll see how it plays out. But we move now to the second mitzvah. The mitzvah saseh is shamot. The mitzvah lo saseh is lo yigos. Right? Lo yigos is vayeh v'esachim ki karash mital Hashem. You shall not oppress him, which simply means do not demand payment. Fine. When does lo yigos begin? So it's at the start of the year. I brought you the language of the Sefer HaMitzvos first in Source Aleph. V'amitzvah harei shlamet hishei zironu shelo litboa hamat sha'os bishnas ha-shemitah, not to claim the debts in the Shemitah year. Aval yishamtu kulam yachta, but all of them are simply nullified at once. And the point here that I wanted to draw is the fact that he says bishnas ha-shemitah, during the Shemitah year itself, not at the end of the year. And the Rambam similarly in Hashmita Yovel Tes Aleph says Mitzvasei leHashmit Hamalve Hamilva. I should say Bishvius Shnemar Shemot Kobal Masha Yado. So the fact that he says that it's happening in Shmita, but the Chosha Avra Alav Shvius Avra Alosa say Shnemar Lo Yigos Zvayu Besachiv. It is interesting that he says Lo Yigos is where it has already passed. In other words, I would look at that other language, Sha'avra Alav Shvius, and say then Lo'igos is at the end of the year. I'm just building.
On the first basis, it could be anything, because it's saying Mitzvah Lashmi Bishvius, but it's clear that that Mitzvah is on the end of the year. Right? Because that's the Mitzvah Shemot.
Right. But there, the way he explains it is Shalolit Boa. Are you talking about which one? You're talking about the first one. The beginning of Source Base.
It seems to be, is meaning
that Shamot, it sounds like he's saying, is the beginning.
Right, but
you're saying Shamot.
But doesn't he agree that it happens at the end? Doesn't everybody agree that Shamot
yes.
is at the end?
Yes.
So the fact that he says Bishvis and it says Shamot.
Yeah, I'm only looking at this now and realizing that it's not so clear.
It doesn't seem to be so clear.
Yeah, I haven't seen anyone discuss it, but you're right, it's not so clear. And everybody universally is going to say that Lo Yigos is at the start of the year. So
yeah, I thought the Rosh says Lo Yigos is at the start
of the year. The Ksos has his question. You know, then what are we doing during Shemitah?
Right.
But I didn't see anybody who said Lo Yigos started at the end of the year. And this language in the Rambam is now bothering me, but I had not seen anybody make that statement. All right, I have to look into this and see what's going on. But the language of the Rush is what I brought you in Source Gimel, where he writes, V'hadein kosin prosbol bishvias. He writes bishvias. I added in the Shana because wanted to make clear what he's saying here. Even though, as we said last week, Shamot kicks in only at the end. Right? At the end of 7 years, you shall do Shemitah, and this is your mitzvah, Shamot. So the pasuk sounds like it's only at the end of the year. Miketz, Sheva Shanim. Then shamot kolbam mashe yado. Aval miyad, and I bolded this for you, but we're not going to actually do any collection at the beginning of the year. And the malva himself should not be oppressing the borrower. It's reversed, but that's, you know, the Rush's text that he's using here. But you understand that in the original, if you look it up in a Chumash, you would see Lohigos as Re'eo Besachiv. Ki karash mita l'ashem, because he's declared Shemitah. So when was Shemitah declared? Miyad Shnechnasa Shemitah, Lo Yigos. It's from when Shemitah begins. Avalim Yifra Halove Me'atzmo, but if the borrower pays back, I added in the bracketed words, in year 7, Ein Tzarech Lomer Meshamedani. Right? That you don't have to do, because Meshamedani begins only at the end of the year. And just as we do not actually collect the chov from then, we also won't write any prizbol once Shemitah begins, because as I wrote in the brackets, writing a prizbol would be a form of noges. Right? You're making a declaration of, I want this loan to survive. That is noges. So that's why he's saying, don't write it once the Shemitah year begins. He will not be happy with the fact that everybody's going to write their prosbul in this year. You right? Okay. So that's the position of the Rush, which leads to the question of the Ketos, which we will ask here and then hopefully come back to. I brought you the Rama on whom the Ketos is commenting, classic Rama. Yesh omrim dein Shemitah noheges bizman hazeh. Some say there's no such thing. Today, v'nira sha'aleh, meaning Shemitah's Ksafim is what he's dealing with, v'nira sha'aleh m'samchut b'dinos elo, and that's what people depend on in these lands, she'ei noagin din Shemitah klal b'zman hazeh, they don't practice it at all, v'menog ha'yu noagim adayim b'zman harash, k'mo she'kasuv b'tshuva, sh'ay tzevech k'kruchi levatel ha'minog, he says back in the days of the Rush, they already weren't doing it. And nobody listened to him when he complained, and we're going to talk about that more in a bit. Uvar kasuv gam kein achronim zal, he's quoting himself in the Dark Moshe, Tam Laminok Sheinog in Shemitah, Kimavur Bedibri Maharik, Umari Yisraeline, Maharil, Ve'ela Daknik Achareyim. And he says, we're not now going to start challenging everybody and saying they're evil because they're not doing Shemitah's Ksafim. So the Ktsos comments on this, on the words Tam Laminhag, that various Achronim, he calls them Achronim, by the way, we call them Rishonim, but to him, they're Achronim. But he says they gave various explanations for what's going on. So he writes, "B'tshuvas harash kasav tam sheinichan al minhagan." The Rush explained why he left them doing as they did. Kevin shapashad aminok shola hashmit, because the practice had spread not to be mashmit. V'akol yodin ze havaleki ilu hisna hamal v'amanah shola tishmet b'shvias, or shola tishamet b'shvias. He says, since everybody knew that everybody knew that the loan was going to be collected afterwards, it's as though you had made a condition, right? Hakol Yodin Zeh, everybody knew. V'akati kash, and you know the difference already from the Gemara in Makos, the difference between saying on condition that Shemitah will not nullify it versus on condition that you will not cancel it in Shemitah. The latter being the language that works. So he says, V'akati kashali, b'shana shviyas gufa de'eno mishamet. Avo miyak shigia t'chilas ha-shmitah, ein bezin nizkak en ligbos shumcho, v'gam amalva be'atzmo ein lo ligos mit'chilas sheva, avo agav de'eno mishamet, ela besofo, k'mo shkazav ha-rash parak ha-sholayach. Ubezelo shayach t'nai, deze eino t'nai sheva mamon ela milsa di'isura. He says, I don't really understand what it is that you're talking about here, because you're saying that it's working. The Rosh is saying it's working because it's as though you made a Tanai. The Tanai works in terms of mama. You can make a Tanai saying, I am lending this to you on condition that you will owe me the value of the loan even after the Shemitah year. But you can't make a Tanai that's going to say the Isser doesn't go away, that Lo Yigos doesn't go away. Too many negatives. You can't make a condition that lo yigos is void. That doesn't work. So he says, I don't understand what you're doing when you when you're empowering him to do that. He's got a problem. That's the Ketzos's problem is how is it that you are suspending Lo Yigos with this tonight? So the approach that that I saw from the Karban Nisanel, which I assume you, you saw either in the Karban Nisanel or in the Rabbi Shimon Levy article where he quoted it, but the Karban Nisanel says, you know what, Lo Yigos actually kick in twice. Lo Yigos actually kicks in twice. He says, in truth, the and I didn't retype the Karban Nisanel on here, but he says, in truth, the Rambam and the Ramban believe that Lo Yigos happens not at the beginning of the year, it happens at the end of the year. Wait.
Oh, the opposite. Not at the end, but at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's what's going to quote you, the East.
Yeah.
Or the Son of Saint, that the Rambam and Ramban argue with the Rosh.
No. No, I got this. Karban Nisanel writes that Rambam and Ramban believe that it happens at the end of the year. Then he quotes the Radvaz, and the Radvaz says that Rambam and Ramban agree with the Rosh. That's the idea. The Karban Nisanel himself says that they believe it happens at year's end. Radvaz says that they actually agree with the Rosh. And that Lo Yigos kicks in the beginning of the year, and then again at the end of the year. Maybe that's the answer to our problem with the language of Mishneh Torah also, that we noted before. When Rambam and Ramban say Lo Yigos is at the end of the year, they're talking about a loan that was extended during Shemitah. If the debt was from before Shemitah, Lo Yigos is at the start of the year. But if you borrowed money during Shemitah, then Lo Yigos is going to kick in at the end of the year. And when the Rosh says that we don't write a prosbul during Shemitah, he's talking about for a loan that was extended before Shemitah. He would agree that you could write a prosbul during Shemitah for a loan extended during Shemitah, because the initial Lo Yigos from the start of the year was only for debts that existed then. In other words, Lo Yigos is not a phase. It's not a stage of existence in which now Lo Yigos is constantly floating in the air around us, and any loans that are created are not under Lo Yigos, or are not under Negis, I should say.
Lo Yigos at the end of the year, how is writing a principle in the middle of the year not sure?
Because Lo Yigos hasn't happened yet for that loan. Lo Yigos is a moment in time at which we are told, stop oppressing him. And for a loan that was originated in ER, Lo Yigos has never happened. Not till you get to the end of the year. There is no isser of being no gaze. That's what he's saying. So that the and the Karban Nisanel quotes it from the Radvaz. The Karban Nisanel himself disagrees, because he notes that the Rosh didn't explain the Psukim in this way. And the idea of a double application of Lo Yigos, which you're claiming now that they're all agreeing to, and he says there's no logic in making such a distinction. He doesn't like that idea. So in that article that I referred you to from Rabbi Shimon Levy, he offered a justification for it. His justification was to say that you can split the rights of the lender. There is a hafka'a of the right to claim the debt at the start of the year under Lo Yigos. At the beginning of the year, he loses the right to claim the debt. However, he technically owns the money. In the event that the money were handed to him, it will be his. At the end of the year, he has Taseh Shemitah, and at that point, he no longer has a right to the money. If someone hands him the money, it's, that's not mine. That's the distinction that he draws. I thought this was a very funny distinction. But he claims that the Gemara in Ksuvos supports it. I have to be honest with you. I didn't follow how this was so clear. But take a look at source Vav, where he quotes you the Gemara in Ksuvos from Daf Peh Amud Beis. Hamocher shtarchov lachavero v'chazar umachalo machul. I added in the word in brackets. Someone sells a document that says X owes me money. So he sells the document to somebody else. Then he, the original owner of the document, the original creditor, says, I'm machul the debt that's recorded in there. I sold you a piece of paper. So the rule is machul. That works. To which we ask then, why is he able to do that? So Rashi writes in Sor Zayin, Machul Damar Le Love, Lelokeach, Lav Baldvern Didiat, because the borrower turns to the person who bought the debt and says, no, you have no claim against me whatsoever. So he says, what does that mean when you say to the buyer, you are not my Baal Devarim? Because what was sold was the right to the money, but not the right to claim it. The right to claim it rests with the original lender. That wasn't sold. And so he says on that basis, you can split the two rights. And so you can split the two rights here and say they have different moments when they are mufka, when they are removed in Shemitah. The reason why I don't understand this is, and it's a chesaron in me in general, but is that I like simple reads. And the way I read Rashi is he's simply saying, La baldaram didia, he was mochel the debt for me, you have no claim against me, go bother him. He's the one who damaged you, he's the one who took what he sold you and made it worthless. You have an issue, go to him. But that's his argument, and he says that will answer the Ketzos' question. Originating a loan after the start of the year avoids removal of Lo Yigos because he retains the Koachad. He retains somehow one of these rights. I had written here he retained Koachad Tvia, but I thought it's the other one. That's his argument. So what I really wanted to get out of this section, what I really wanted to draw from this, is this question of when does Lo Yigos begin? Is it at the start of the year or is it at the end of the year? The idea of the Rosh, it's at the start of the year. Now what we're seeing in the Rambam is that it's not so clear cut. I thought that it was.
I don't know. I didn't cover it. I know it's not quoted in the article. So I don't know.
It's basically quoted accurately.
So he's not going to tell us the Rambam.
No. But that's what I would think he's getting it from.
Right, I would assume he's getting from the fact that he's saying Bishvi with respect to the beginning of Hashmata, which clearly was the end of the year.
Right.
And then maybe comparing that to it's not very. I wouldn't say it's both people.
Right. Okay. But that's the idea. I then wanted to talk about, under the heading of Shemitah's Ksachim Basics, the question of what is nullified and what isn't nullified in Shemitah. So we're going to go through a series of cases, which will also, hopefully, some of them will give us some principles. The first is debts that have collateral attached, right? As stated in the Mishnah in Shvius Yud, Perek Yud, Mishnah Beis, these are not going to be nullified, and the reason is because they're considered paid as long as you hold the collateral. And that's the Gemara in Gittin Lamed Zayin of Aleph, which I brought you in source test. Tanan Hasam, they quote the Mishnah from Shvius. Hamavas Cheramos HaMashkar V'Moses Shtarosev LeBezin Ein Mishamtin. These two are not nullified. The first one is if you lend money but you take a collateral. Moser Shtarosev LeBezin, we're going to come back to. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Moser Shtarosev LeBezin Detafsi Luhu Beidina. Moser Shtarosev LeBezin literally means I turned over my document to the Beidin and said, you collect it. So I understand that that is not nullified because Beidin is holding it, and what that means we'll talk about. But he says, Ella Mavala Mashkon my time. But why does having a collateral mean that the loan is not going to be void during Shemitah? Amar Rava Mishum Detafas. So Rava says the reason is because you're holding it. It's like it's considered paid. You're holding the collateral. To which Abaye says, Amale Abaye. Abaye says that you're holding what? The question is how you define the word lay. So Abaye says, Elameata, Hilvo Vadarba Chatzero, the toughest lay, Hachanamid Lomashamek. Let's say you lent to somebody who is your tenant. He's living in your yard. You can grab him anytime. So does that mean that the loan is not void? She says, no. Amale, Sha'ani Mashkon de Kani lay. The Mashkon is different because you actually acquire it. You, the creditor, have ownership of this collateral. So toughest lay means you grab the Mashkon. Midr Rabbi Yitzchak, as Rabbi Yitzchak taught, in a separate front, regarding the mitzvah of returning the mashkon to the poor person to use. So Rabbi Yitzchak makes the point that the Torah says, Ulochat Yet Tzedakah. When you do this, that is considered something righteous that you're doing. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, that demonstrates that the Baal Chov, the creditor, owns the mashkon. Because if he didn't own the mashkon, why would it be tzedakah that he's giving it back? It's not a nice present. The borrower owns it. LMI, the answer is that it's because the creditor actually owns it, and that's what he means with the tafis lay. Follow? Yes, that is correct. Now, the question then comes, what if the collateral is not equal to the debt? So for that, we see the brace in Shvius, in Source Yud. Hamavas chaver ala mashkon v'nichnasa shmita. You lend somebody for collateral, and shmita enters. Af pishenu shaveh ala palga eino mishamei diver b'shir b'gamliel. So even though the collateral is only worth part of the debt, it is not nullified. I don't yet know what it means. What could it mean?
And the Torah is telling you there's a certain
the whole loan,
or
the value
of the mashkon. Correct. Those are your two options, but I don't know which one it is. Per Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer, Mhaya Mashkono Keneged Chovo Eino Meshamet. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, if it is the equal of the entire debt, it's not nullified. Vimlav Meshamet. But otherwise, it is nullified. Okay? It's either all or nothing. So the Gemara says, at least that's what it sounds like. So the Gemara asks, "My eno mishami tekamer tanakamu." Where Meshubba Gamliel says it is not mishami. What he says is not mishami, where the collateral is only worth part of the debt. What does that mean? Ilema, and I added in the bracketed words rock. Ilema raknegdo. If what you're telling me is that only that which is its equal is going to not be nullified, right? In other words, it was a $1,000 loan, it's a $200 collateral. So you're going to tell me that $200 survives Shemitah. That means Rav Yehuda Hanasi is going to believe that even the $200 is gone. In that case, what would you bother with the collateral for in the first place? Elamai tavis mashkon. Why did you bother to take a mashkon? It didn't help you. Elalav kneged kulo. It must be that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is saying $1,000 is not nishmat. Then the little note that I skipped is just relevant to the discussion there in Shavuos, which is what they quoted this for in the first place. They only brought it in because it related to an issue of Shmuel and so on, which I didn't want to get bogged down in. But the Gemara then says, no, that's not necessarily the way you take this. La'olam rakinegdo. I will tell you that actually, the Tanakhama of Shimon Gamliel is saying that where you have a $200 collateral on a $1,000 loan, only $200 survives Shemitah. And this is the machlokas. Tanakama sever kinegdo. The Tanakama is taking the view, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is taking the view that only that which is the value of the collateral is not mishamet or mishtamet during Shemitah. Rabbi Yudanasi sever kinegdo nami mishamet. Rabbi Yudanasi says, no, if it's $200 collateral, you get zilch. The whole thing is void. Then go back to our question. And then you ask, why have a collateral? The answer is, it's simply to make sure that he remembers that he owes you money. And that everybody remembers that he owes you money. Because if he didn't owe me money, why was I holding his vase? Right? That's the idea of a collateral. Collateral is not dreamed up for the sake of Shemitah. I thought that was a funny question in the first place. Yeah. Correct. It is an interesting question, perhaps only asked for the sake of the answer. But the point is that we have this machlokes then, as far as how much will survive Shemitah. As a matter of psak, the Rambam in Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel Perek Tes Halacha Yedalet rules that the collateral will save the value of the collateral. $200 will not be void. The rest of it will be void. However, the Chinuch notes that not everybody agrees that the rest is nishmat. He says there are those who actually say, no, the whole thing survives Shemitah, and that's why in the Shulchan Aruch I brought you in Source Yud Aleph, he brings both views. Hamav al-mashkon, eino mishamet mashak keneged ha-mashkon, he does not Right? He's not Mishamet. V'yesh misha omer shacha yesar l'mashkunin mishamet. And some say even the rest. So that's, if you want to know more about it, look at the Sefer HaChinuch. I didn't want to make the whole shiur about that. But that's the issue. So that's, we covered one issue. Debts that have a collateral. Yeah.
If the whole thing survives, also why would he need the mashkun?
Because of the mashkun that the whole thing survives.
Oh, it's just because of that.
Yeah. It's the mashkun that's enabling the whole thing to survive. Otherwise, it's a regular halva. Yeah. The point is, what the novelty is, we are viewing it as though the tafas lay, even though really it's not tafas lay. Stop it. Thank you. That's first. Okay. Second, unlimited tab in a store. Okay? You went to a store, you bought, and he never claimed payment of the tab. It's not truly unlimited, there's no such thing. But as of now, it looks unlimited. So what's the status there? So the mission in Shvi'is, Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph, I brought it for you in source Yud, Beis. I brought you pieces that are not on this point, but that are on the other ones that we're going to see, so I brought you the whole Mishnah. Shvi'is Mishametes is Amilva B'shtar B'shalo B'shtar, right? Whether it is a recorded document or not, doesn't matter. Shmita ultimately nullifies the debt. Hakafas Hachanus Eina Mishametes. A store tab is not Mishtamet during Shmita. V'masa Milva Hareza Mishamet. But if you turned it into a loan, meaning you said, okay, you now owe me X amount, you counted up all the different times you bought things, and you said, this is your amount that you owe me now, that's Mishamet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer HaRishon Rishon Mishamet. Rabbi Yehuda says each one as it comes along is Mishamet. Then I added the explanation in brackets from the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah to say that what that means is the second time you buy, the first one is now a loan. The third time you buy, the second one is now a loan. Each time you now have an existing debt. And then he continues with salary for an employee. We'll come back to that when we deal with salary for an employee. We're not on that yet. But that's what the Mishnah says, and it's paskind in the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel Perek Tes Halacha Yud Aleph, and it is paskind as well in the Shulchan Aruch Hashemishpat Samach Zayin Yud Dalet. So the question is, why does this work? Why is it that your tab is going to survive? Why isn't it a loan? The Rambam seems to be trying to explain it in his parish to the Mishnah, but I don't understand what he's talking about. In Source Yud Gimel, he writes, "V'akavas achanus, hu mashe derech b'nei adam lehitkasher im ba'alei achanuyot sheyikach imenu tzrachav ad sheyitkabetz etzlo schum v'yishalim lo." You make an arrangement with the store owner saying, I'm going to shop here until I reach whatever sum, and at that point I'll pay you. And So the amount that so far he has tallied up is not nishmat, because it's not in the manner of debts. Because he didn't sell it to him so that it should be a debt. He's simply selling him items for small amounts of money until it combines with other money, and at that point he'll be able to claim it. I don't understand what in the world he's talking about. When you learned this, I don't know if any of you saw this. What's the logic?
So this idea, you said it's like a tab, right?
It is a tab.
Yeah, it's a running tab. But the idea wasn't that he's lending him the money. It's not he's saying, this is the way I understood it. I'm not giving you money to hold on to.
Yeah.
Right? It's the money he's expected. It's just delayed payment, right?
What does that mean? Let me put it differently. Right. If the store closed down tomorrow, right, you would owe him the amount of money on your tab.
Right.
So why isn't it a loan?
I'm pretty sure we actually saw that there's that distinction. That if it gets to a place where he says, now this is a loan, then it's a loan.
No, what I'm saying is, you didn't get to that place. The store closed down. He went out of business.
So then at that point it's a loan.
Why now?
Because he wants them. Because now he's saying, you owe me that money. Right now there's this after the fact. Initially he's not saying you owe me money. Initially he's saying you have this money.
You haven't
acquired the whole purchase. Or you're buying something on
credit. I ate the eggs.
It's like, but it's buying on credit though. It's not saying...
Buying on credit is a loan. Of course it's a loan.
First of all, the parish mishnah is arguing with the first show. I mean, I feel like he's not saying every harisha harisha.
Well, he's not harisha harisha.
I'm not sure Rabbi Yehuda, sorry. Anyway, yeah. Not. Okay, fine. But, I mean, the question, I mean, he's saying it's lefisha ina kidera kafofo.
What does that mean?
I mean, yeah, I don't know what that means.
Is it a loan with a shinui?
Yeah, I don't know why that's an exception.
Take a look at Yadala. The Kesef Mishnah formulates it. I almost thought you were going to say it, David Eli, but then you veered off. He says, this is the Kesef Mishnah to the Rambam on this halacha, V'nira li shetam hadavar, shemei achar shederech lahakiv zman achar zman. Since the way you do it is, you run a tab for time upon time, ve'eno nifram yimenu, not collecting it ad shizdamnu lo mos, until the guy has money, ve'ein derech linog so, and it's not normal for you to come after him. It's understood, this is a running tab. Havi ki'ilu hilvahu ad achar shvius. It's as though you lent him the money with a collection date that is after Shemitah. That's the idea. Shein Shvius Misham Daso. So it's like any 10-year loan that we talked about, right? That's the idea. I'm going to come back to the rest of his comments in a few minutes when we talk about the employee wages. But he says that's why. It's because your tab is not up for collection. Because he hasn't said anything. If I walk into the supermarket and he says, you've already reached the point where I'd like you to pay me, then he has made it into a halva, because it's due now. He's saying, pay me now. But until he says, pay me now, he's saying, pay me later.
Would this make a difference at all with, rather than like a supermarket thing, let's say like car payments or house payments? Because there you're not like doing bit by bit like we just said.
That's a really interesting question. How do I look at car payments? Do I look at it as, this is not owed yet, and therefore you will owe it if it's after Shemitah? Or do I say, no, you owe it now, they're just letting you wait and they're charging you interest, right, along the way? I think the answer is really it's owed now. Because otherwise, on what basis would they be able to charge you the interest?
The whole thing, right.
If you pay now, then you can actually get rid of some of the interest charges. I mean, that's not the way they structure mortgages. They make you pay more just up front. But hypothetically, you would be able to get out of it. So I think the answer is you owe now, not you owe later.
Okay.
But it's an interesting question. But that's the way the Kesef Mishnah frames this.
I want to ask your same question. I guess that would work. The question of what if they shut down? What if the store closes? So if you're saying that the collection date is just for a later date, you have to pay at the end of the month. So the collection date is at the end of the month. And within the month they close, you still have to pay at the end of the month. So
I would think.
Right, yeah.
So that's the idea, which brings us to our next step, which is indeed employee wages. So yeah.
Don't say that. I mean, part of the whole 10-year loan idea is that because you can't, he doesn't apply for it. If your employee goes, then you can't have
Say this again.
The whole idea of the 10-year loan might sound funny is because if employee goes, if you're not able, if it doesn't apply, right. If you don't get it at this moment,
right.
Then you can't do that. So. Same the car payment. Can they be no gain? Meaning, if you have a structured payment, can they be no gain?
Right, so the answer is they can't be no gain. They can't be no gain.
So I don't know, maybe.
It's an interesting question. Yeah, I don't know. It's worth thinking about. I don't know. Going back to the Mishnah in Yud Beis, Schar Sachir. The second part of that, or third part in that of that Mishnah. Schar Sachir eno Mishamet. Vimaso Milva Hareze Mishamet. Right? Wages for an employee are not erased, but if you turn it into a loan, then they are. Rabbi Yossi adds a note, which we're not going to get into, but it's worth knowing. Right? Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol malach shefosekes b'shvius. If the malach has to stop in Shemitah, and I explained in brackets, meaning it's malach ha'asura b'shvius. So then in that case, it's mishametes. But if ain't a posekes b'shvius, he's working for you all along, then ain't a mishametes. So on that, the Kesef Mishnah offers the same type of explanation as he gave regarding the store tab in Yudalid, the second half of Yudalid. V'zeu tam schar sachir she'enu nishmat. That's why the wages also are not erased. M'nei she'derech lekabetz schar shana u'shnatayim b'yad asocher oso. Despite the fact that we're told b'yomo titein scharo and so on, nonetheless, the way of the world is that you let him build up payment for a year or two. I don't know what you're surviving while this is going on. But that's what he said. Says, they don't know sell the sitam low, and you don't push him to pay. It's like an object that you are leaving with him to watch. Or like a loan that is only due after Shemitah. The use of the word pikadon, I think, is very interesting in this regard. Just writing in the question about the payment plan. I'm not sure. Maybe I get a chance to look around a little bit and see. Okay. The next one is a very interesting case. I brought it mostly because the interesting Yerushalmi and different ways to approach it. It's an interesting discussion. What about a loan that the borrower denies? Okay? You claim, Ephron claims that Tochino borrowed money from him. Tochino says, absolutely not, lo hayu dvar mayolam, it never happened. We fight it out in the courts as I'm looking at the schedule and thinking, great, Shemitah's coming. You know, it's going to be gone anyway. One way or another, I win. So the question is, if I am denying the debt during Shemitah, does it get nullified, or do we say, no, it's going to survive Shemitah? That's the question. So the Yerushalmi on this is source Tesvav. V'chol ma'aseh beis din is the quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, ma'aseh beis din is not nullified in Shemitah. So the Gemara comments, elu gizrei dinin. That means decrees of the dayanim, of the judges. So the Gemara says, pshita, it's obvious that that's going to survive. Why would you call that a loan? So he says, da milsa milva shehinaseis kafronis eina mishametas. What this is really teaching me is that if you have a loan that becomes kafronis, kafronis from the word kofer, like kofer bakol, right? If you have a loan that is being denied, where he says there's no such thing, I don't owe you the money, then Shemitah is not going to nullify it. Kafronis shehinaseis milva, on the other hand, if initially he denied it and then he acknowledged it, then mishametes. Then it will in fact be nullified. What in the world are you talking about, Yerushalmi? So the answer is it depends. There are two different views as to what kafronis means. One, Rambam Shmita V'Yovel Perek Tes Halacha Ches, and then two, the Ravid commenting on it. And here the Ravid says something that I think is a classic, very worth knowing and remembering. But we'll see it. The Rambam writes, Hilvahu, you lent somebody money, Vitavo, and you claimed it, Bekofarbo, and he denied it. Vigia Hashmita, Shmita arrived, Vahu Bekfiraso, and he's still denying it. Vahoda Achar Sha'avra Shviz, Shmita goes by, and then I admit it afterwards. Okay, so that's one case. Osha Bo Alav Edim Achar Shviz, or, for that matter, witnesses showed up after Shmita, and everyone had to stop denying for that way, for that reason. Ein Hashviz Mishametes. So Shmita will not nullify it. This is the Rambam's explanation of the Yerushalmi in source Tesvav. Right? When we say that the milva that is naseis kafranis ena mishametes, what the Rambam is saying is that means if it started as a loan, but come Shmita, you are a kafran, you denied it, then it's not going to be voided by Shmita. So the Ravid writes on that below in source Tezayin, lo v'tavo v'kafarbo, etc. Dot dot dot. Amar Avram. Hine hu sover taima de chazar vahoda obo edim mishamet. The haim amad vikiraso eno mishamet. He says the Rambam's belief is that the only way that this is going to be voided is if the guy acknowledges it or witnesses show up, meaning during Shvius. Then Shvius will be able to knock out the debt. Haim amad vikiraso, but if he stood by his denial throughout Shemitah, it will not be nullified. Kipshuto shal Yerushalmi, like the simple read through of the Yerushalmi. Milva v'nasis kafronis, eino mishamet. So he acknowledges that what the Rambam is saying is a simple read. However, he says, ulai eino k'mo shehu sover. There are other ways that we could actually read this. He says, delav b'kfira talya milsa. It's not about whether you denied it. Ella osha patruhu based in bishvuaso v'nishba kodem shvius v'chazar v'hoda obo edim. Maybe I should take it as based in permitted, exempted him, right? Via his oath. In other words, he swore this doesn't exist, and based in freed him, right, before Shemitah, and then later on he acknowledged it or witnesses showed up and he was caught. That's one possibility. I'm not dwelling on that one. The second one is what I want to dwell on. He says, O Shema, Shu Chozer Al Maisa Bezdin Hasamuch Lo. Maybe this line in the Mishnah is when it talks about the Gemara, this line in the Yerushalmi is going back to the wording of the Mishnah when it talked about Maisa Beis Din, meaning V'amar Milva Shenaseis Kafranis. If you have a loan and it becomes Kafranit, it is denied. Uba, well, we'll see what denied means in a second. Uba le Beis Din v'chivuhu. He denied owing the money. He showed up in Beis Din, and Beis Din said, you have to pay. Because remember what the Yerushalmi said. Maisa Beis Din is the gezerah of the judge. So therefore what happened was, you came to Beis Din, Beis Din made a gezerah, of a kasvu lo zechuso sheyitrof, and they wrote up a document for the creditor saying, you can claim this. Eino mishamet. In that case, it's not nullified. And dahainu Maisa Beis Din. That's what Maisa Beis Din is. And that's what we call milva shenaseis kafranis. Aval kafranis v'naseis milva, the case of kafranis which became a loan, means klomer sheherichu sovehimtin olav l'raglo. It means that you stalled and stalled and stalled. You didn't get a court decision. And in that case, mishamet. That's the Ravid's offer for how to read it. If he just denied the debt and dragged him along, Shmita would nullify it as long as you didn't have a court order. That's what he's saying. And he says, I'll prove to you that this is worth considering. She'im hu kamoshu poshe dvarim kipshutan. Because if this were really the way that the Rambam explains it, masnisin dishvias, the Mishnah in Shvias, which is a mistake, it should say Shavuos. So that's why I added it in brackets. It means the Mishnah in Shavuos. Kasha, that's going to be difficult. What do you mean? Vashvias mishametes es hashvua is the line in that Mishnah. It says Shemitah will cancel the oath. Vareza omeid bikfiraso. Why should that be? He remains in his denial, and therefore the loan should not be nullified by Shemitah according to the Rambam's read. According to the Rambam, as long as you're denying, it keeps getting dragged out. So therefore, he says the Rambam is going to have to explain to me how it is that the Mishnah in Shavuos says that Shemitah is going to nullify an oath. Dok fetishkach. That's what he says. And then he says great words. Klalo shel davar. Lo nimser ha-gemara ela o lebalaya kabbalah o lebalaya svara hanachona. He says, bottom line is, in terms of explaining what the Gemara is saying, you need one of two things. Either you have to have a kabbalah that this is the way to explain it, or you have to have the right logic. And my logic's better than yours, so there. Or could be better than yours at any rate. But I actually had a chance to use it even just last night in a Beit Sashir. I think it's a very interesting sentiment that he's making. But that's the machlokes here about a loan that the borrower denies. According to the Rambam, as long as you deny it, Shemitah will not nullify it. Whereas according to the Ravid, no, Shemitah will nullify it. The only thing that it will not be nullified is if the court has ordered you to pay. Because then it's Maisa Beis Din. That's the way that the Ravid looks at it. Okay. Next is the Maisa Beis Din case. That's the next one on my list of items here. So Maisa Beis Din, we already know. Maisa Beis Din is not nullified. That's from Perakut Mishnah Beis. And the Rambam paskins it in Hashmit Yovel Test Tesvav in Suras Yud Zayin there. I'm jumping the first line in that because we have to come back to that. It's Moshe Shtarosa, but the end of it is V'chein Beisin Shechatchu Es Hadin V'kasvu Ish Ploni Atachayev Litein Lezev Kach V'kach Eino Nishmat. But the Rambam explains why it is that a Maisa Beis Din is not. Shezek Hegavoyu. The reason why a Maisa Beis Din is not nullified is not that it's not a loan. It is a loan. However, it's a collected loan. Because Beis Din, right? The house always wins. Beis Din is never going to lose. So therefore, it's as though you already paid it. You just don't know it yet. The Okilu Baliyado Ve'eno Kamilva. That's why we don't view it as a loan for that reason. There's a whole discussion about whether you need a written Psak Din or not. That the Rikurkus ties back to the Rambam versus the Ravid on Kafranis. If you look at the Rikurkus there, it's an interesting discussion. Last category of items which are not nullified in Shemitah, right? We've said the debts that have collateral attached, an unlimited tab in a store, employee wages, a loan that the borrower denies, depending on Rambam Ravid, the obligation for a punishment levied by Beis Din, and then the last one is Moser Shtarosa, which is going to lead into our Prose Bowl discussion as well. You gave the documents to Beis Din for collection. So that's something that's listed in Gittin Lamed Zayin, which we saw a bit of in Source Test, where they said, Moser Shtarosa the Beis Din, the Tafsilu Hu Beidina. right? The Beis Din is holding him. So the question is, I don't know if any of you looked at anything already on this, but the question is, why is this true? What do you mean the Beis Din is holding him? What does that mean? Or the Beis Din is holding the debts? So source Yerches, Rashi says something that I don't understand. Rashi says that Tasi Lahu Beidina, the Hefkeran Hefker. When Beis Din declares something Hefker, it is Hefker. V'gabe Malve, lo, or V'gabe Milva, I should say, Lo Karinim Be Lo Yigos. So we are going to call this Lo Yigos. What is Rashi saying? What does Rashi mean?
Could be low egos because since they can declare experts, as if they're giving it to the mall.
Yeah, but what's the, that's not. What is he saying in terms of? What is this hefker based in? What is he explaining as far as how this works? What do you mean the tafsilu beidina? That's coming from the Gemara, which simply said that the reason why Moshe Sharosov is not void is because the Tassel Beidina, was what we saw in source tests. Has what? Meaning they're holding my document that says he owes me money. So since Beis Din is holding the document that says this guy owes me money, and therefore what? Hefker and Hefker, therefore what? They can claim the money that this guy owes me. They can just say, your bank account now reads negative whatever it is. That money now is no longer yours. It's not low egos, because Beis Din already collected it. It's just sitting in your bank account, but you've lost the money already. And the truth is, like Rashi saying that, I think is nice. But my problem with Rashi saying this is that there's a Sifri, which is quoted in the Yerushalmi and in the Rambam, and it gives a different explanation. The Sifri in Sefer Yitzchak says, "Vasher yelecha zachicha tashmei gadecha, whatever you have with your brother, meaning whatever your brother owes you, v'lo shalachicha biyadecha, not where your brother's stuff is already with you, meaning mikanat omer amal v'almashkon ein mishami. So the collateral case is not going to be nishmat because you already own it of your brothers. It's not like the answer that we gave before, incidentally, right? What we gave before to answer the collateral case was because you already own it, and therefore it's not really owed. So he says something a little bit different. But look at his second half. Es achicha tashmeit yadecha, that which is with your brother, you shall be mishamet. V'lo amoser shtarosav le-Beis Din, and not somebody who gives the shtar to Beis Din, and then goes off on other things. So what I don't understand is why did Rashi tell me it's because of hefker Beis Din hefker? It's exeris akasav. And that's what the Rambam brings. If you go back to the Rambam in... Where was it? Which source was it that we saw? Test Vav. 17. Thank you, Yizayim. We said there, Hamoser Shtarosav Le-Beis Din V'Amar Lem Aten Gevuli Chovi Zeh Eino Nishmat. Or maybe Chovi Zeh Eino Nishmat. If he says to them, you collect for me, it is not void. So he's bringing you the Sifri, he's bringing the Yerushalmi. What in the world is Rashi doing quoting this? I started to look into this and think I may have found something. I want to bring this back in Prozbul, because in Prozbul we have to discuss, is Prozbul the same thing as Moshe Shtaros of the Beis Din, or is it something different? So we have to get to that. But what I wanted to shift gears to now for the next 10 minutes is the question of what happened to Shemitas Ksafim in the times of the Rishonim. We all know, because of the Rush, that something went weird. In the early Rishonim, right, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Bari, the Rambam, they clearly believe that Shemitas Ksafim applies. They're all talking about Prozbul, and they're all talking about what is Nishmat and what is not Nishmat. They sound very practical. They're writing Prozbul, and that's all clear. But then you hit the 13th century, which isn't that long after their time, and And Ashkenaz is doing Shemitas Ksafim, Sfard is not doing Shemitas Ksafim. And the Rosh was the one who made that very clear for us. We saw it already above. I actually reproduced it in Chav. But it's the same that we as what we saw in terms of his point. He says, Shemati Yadi Lichto Be'inyan Shemita Miyom Boil Aretz Hazos. Remember that the Rosh starts out in Germany and then has to flee and he goes to Spain. So he says, ever since I arrived in Spain, I haven't really written anything about Shemitas Ksafim. And the pun is cute. Shemati Yadi. Kidvar Ravim Hayuli and Gedolei Ha'ir. I debated this one, right? After I was done trying to convince them to change the date for Zayn Talamatar, I said, okay, so let me debate Shemitas Ksafim instead. I had a big fight with them about this. And they said, that's our minhag. We don't do Shemitah. And you can't beat such an old, dated custom. I added in the word Yishanos. I think I added it in. There are many old debts that are around that people are holding against other people that should have been annulled by Shemitah. And they brought a proof from the beautification of the text in their document, by which he means ways that they reinforce it so that the loan will survive Shemitah. But I frankly didn't find that to be terribly convincing in terms of their logic. There, he doesn't explain what their language was, but we'll see some hints of it soon. I found a little bit of an excuse for the fact that I am not running around screaming, hey, you guys are doing it wrong. Varani, I say, he says, I'll say that maybe it's because, since everybody knows that it's going to be collected after Shemitah, it's as though you made a tie that you shouldn't nullify just during Shemitah. We notice the different ways that people struggle with the grammar of what is happening in Shemitah. They write Tishmitanu, Tishame, Tishmo. It's a very difficult thing because it's really the question of whether it happens automatically or whether you have to do something. But in any case, that's the Rush's complaint. The Rush says, in Sfard, they aren't doing it. Apparently, in Ashkenaz, they were. The Tur has slightly different language from the Rush. The Rush writes about this in a few different places, but the Tur has unique language on this. And he has the Rush saying, I don't contradict other people, I play nicely. Right in Chafal. You asked me why it is that everybody's claiming these debts here. Yeah, I've been bothered by this since I arrived. I've been yelling and screaming like a crane, and nobody is listening to me. They said, that's what we do. You can't change us. You don't follow a minhag that is wrong, that is violating Torah, that is causing people to give money over that they should not be handing over. And they said to me, no, it's the language you put into the document that indicates that the loan is going to survive Shemitah. I found no such thing. And as for your statement that the documents say that the creditor is able to collect however he does so, whether through Jewish ways or otherwise, and that shows that he is able to collect after Shemitah because it's a non-Jewish way. He doesn't know what you're talking about. He's making a condition saying, hi, I'm going to eat treif. You can't, that's not a valid condition. And I let them do as they do. I will not say, if a case comes to me, I'm not going to tell people that the loan survived Shemitah. But on the other hand, I'm not going to create a ruckus over this. Although apparently he did, but you know. Sorry? Yeah. But he rejects the case of Yipur Lashon of collecting via the Nahri ways. Right? He's not a fan of that approach, but we're going to see that approach anyway in others. Over in Ashkenaz, it is still going on. The Maharik, which we'll get to, in 15th century Italy, notes that the Russia's language that we just saw here indicates that Ashkenaz, they are still doing it. It's just Spain that's not doing it. And the Mordechai and Gittin Shin Pei, which we cited last week when we talked about Rabbeinu Avigdor and the question of Shemitah, you know, whatever, beginning of the year, end of the year. So there, they're doing Shemitah Safim. The Mordechai is 13th century Ashkenaz. So there you did have Shemitah Safim. You hit the 14th century, and the Ashkenazim seem to be dropping it as well. And now, for the first time, we get justifications beyond what the Rosh said, which was one. But if you take a look at the Ran, which I brought you in Source Chav Beis, the Ran in Gittin, he says, V'yesh min ha-chachamim mekilin v'omim sh'achshav ein shmitas k'safim noheges klal v'ein anu tzvichin prozbol. Some say there's no issue. Why? L'fi sh'omim t'kaimel en k'rebi d'omar sh'ein shmitas noheges el b'zman sh'avol sh'ayobol noheg. Because we say that Shemitah is only when there's Yovel. He says we have all these leniencies for Prozbul, right, as we'll get to. So Shemitah is really a Derabanan today. Otherwise, we couldn't do all the leniencies that we do. The Kevin Shashmita Tzluya Bi Yovel Dvar Torah, and since biblically Shmita is only when there is such a thing as Yovel, Af Midivrayim Einu Noheges Ela Bizman SheYovel Noheg. So also the Derabanan is only when there is such a thing as Yovel, and here he makes his leap. Did anybody see this Ran before? This is a really funny Ran. He says it will be Meirav Oseinu in the days of our ancestors who observed this. Observe Shemitah. Hayav Beis Din Kavua Be'eretz Yisrael. There was a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael. Show you Mekadshin HaYovel. They would actually declare Yovel, even though it's long after Churban. Vayutokin U'Mishalchan Avadim V'Sados V'Sados Chazal Balei and Zeichel Yovel. They did all this stuff to remember the way Yovel was done. They actually declared a Yovel year. Rav Oseinu would have to be anybody who was actually doing Prozbul. Rashi, read Rabbi Natan. And therefore, Shemitah applied. Meaning, Karka in Israel, Ksafim outside. But now, Shane, Sham Basin, Shemekach, Nosa, Velo Token, Ena, Yovel, Noeklam. Now we don't have a Basin anymore, declaring Yovel. So therefore, there's no Shemitah Ksafim. Shadvar Malalu, Ma'afin, Be Yovel, Kedisa, etc. You don't have Yovel, you don't have these elements. Vikevich, Shabbatal Yovel, Gamri, Avilim, Divraim, Afa Shemitah, Eno, I guess, Klau. How do you like that? That's what the Ran says, people are saying. The Ran himself is not a fan of this idea, but that's what the Ran says, some say. He says, what are you talking about? The Inza Nachon, he says, that's not true. He says, we haven't had one in 1,000 years. We haven't since Hillel HaNasi, right? 5th century, 4th century, 5th century. As we know, by the time you get to the ceiling of the Gemara in the 6th century, but we know that in Ravashi's day, they are doing this. They're going out and hiring a sofer, doing whatever they have to do Prozbul. Kulos or no kulos. He says, no, of course it applies. Yes, it's a derabanan, and yes, there are kulos for Prozbul, but that doesn't change the fact that Shemitah Ksafim exists. That's the Ran's point. He said, I don't know what they're smoking, but it's not legit. You can't do that. The Maharil offers you the same justification that the Rosh did, because now in Ashkenaz also they're not doing Prozbul, they're not doing Shemitah Ksafim. So in Chaf Gimel the Maharil writes, Had ein Shemitah noheges b'shtaros shalanu. The fact that Shemitah does not apply with our shtaros lahashmita halva, hein mishun dechsivi behu hein b'dinei Yisrael hein b'dinei ha'umos. Right, the same that the Rosh rejected. V'od and further, when they write their loans, they say in them that they're securing it with 4 amos in my yard. But not really as a full security, but that's what they write. Vavi karka kamashkos. That's like a collateral. Right? As we've already discussed. Right? So he says that's the justification. He offers you two. He offers that they're using Dine Umos and that there's a collateral involved. So that brings us to the end of the 14th century. We still have to discuss 15th century and the Shulchan Aruch, and it's a little bit more about the justification. So I think what we'll do is we'll pick up with that, God willing, in the beginning of next week's shiur, which will then also be Prozbul, will be the substance of the shiur. Shkayach.